If you'd like to turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1 from our second scripture reading. 2 Peter chapter 1 and reading verses 9 and 10. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. And our subject this morning is making sure of our calling. Well, now these are the words under inspiration of the Holy Spirit of the Apostle Peter, hence the name 2 Peter, the second epistle of Peter. This, of course, is the same Peter who was a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, who walked with him in Galilee, who saw his miracles, who heard his words, beheld his glory, was on the Mount of Transfiguration with the Lord, as he mentions even in this chapter. He is the same Peter who declares of the Lord Jesus Christ, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16, we see Peter saying these things. But at the same time, he is infamously the same Peter who denied the Lord Jesus Christ on the night of his crucifixion. Well, I'm sure many of you know very well the account. The Lord Jesus Christ was on trial. He had been arrested. Peter followed after him, but when Peter himself was questioned, what did he say? "I do not know the man." His faith failed him. He denied the Lord. But even though he denied the Lord restored him and blessed him and used him, so that 2,000 years on, we can read the letter of that same Peter. The same Peter who betrayed and denied the Lord Jesus Christ was forgiven and restored by the Lord Jesus Christ. Or we could even preach a sermon just about that. The kindness and mercy of God, even when we fall, as Peter did, he's willing to use us and bless us. Well, what a tremendous thing that is to think about. But we must focus on this letter. He is writing, the Apostle Peter, this is of course some years after the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is now writing to believers, to Christian believers. We read that even in verse 1, "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us." These are people who have faith that he is writing to. And then in verse 5, he's exhorting those who have faith to add to their faith. And well, just very briefly, just to put this into context, we could mention these things. Add to your faith virtue. He's saying to the Christians, be people of moral excellence. Be virtuous people, people of integrity, people who are honest, people who have good character, courageous people, not cowardly people, standing up for the Lord. Add to your faith virtue, and then to virtue knowledge, knowledge of God through the Word of God, knowledge of how to live as Christian people. Do we know how to live? It's not just coming into church once a week on a Sunday. Do you actually live a life as a Christian person? But to knowledge, temperance. Temperance means self-control, self-mastery, and to temperance, patience. Patience in trials, when bad things come into our lives. Do we fall apart immediately? Do we say, "Oh, God has abandoned me"? Or do we have patience, perseverance? Add to your faith patience, and then godliness, That's reverence toward God. When we come into the house of God, we're reverent. We're willing to hear the word of God, to apply it to our lives. Are we godly people, or does it just go in one ear and out the other? And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity, which is love. For if these things be in you, verse 8, and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you live a life, live the Christian life with Christian character, you will have a fruitful Christian life, a useful Christian life, one that is blessed of the Lord, one that is used of the Lord. If you don't build on your faith with these things, well, you'll start to lose the point. Why do I even come to church? Why am I even a Christian? You start to lose the point of your whole profession. And verse 9, he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. These things are so very important. I won't stay with this for very long, but we are called to be like this for a great reason. We as Christian people, we are lights to this world, a witness to unbelievers around us. If people see us and they see that we have these virtues, they see that we are kind people. They see that we are so disciplined, so self-controlled. They see that we are so loving and so kind to everybody. Well, the people will look at us and think, why is that person like that? Why is he like that? And then you can say to them, because I'm a Christian, because I love God. And then they will say to themselves, oh, I must seek after God myself. If this person is so kind and so self-controlled and so disciplined and such a man of integrity, well, then I have to seek after Christ myself. I must discover what it is about Christianity that is making him this person. But if you're not like that, if you're not like that at all, people won't care about your profession of faith. They won't care if you're a Christian. You're just like everybody else. I don't need to become a Christian just to be like you, who's ill-disciplined and so forth. But if we are like this, well, then people will ask us and inquire about the Christian faith and desire to become Christians themselves. Well, the scriptures speak about this. Let your light so shine before men that they may glorify your Father in heaven. And these things, well, that's just an introduction, a long introduction, but I wanted to mention these things so that we may all aspire to be like that. But the focus really that I want to look at is in verse 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. The Apostle Peter asks us to make two things sure. First, our calling, and then our election. Make them sure. And even though these words are for believers, we can apply them to unbelievers also. Make your calling and election sure. Well, your calling, how are we to understand this? A calling is a vocation, the purpose of one's life. What is your calling? What is the reason why you are here on this earth, in this life? What is your calling? We often speak about this, even in non-religious terms. People who we know, perhaps we know people, even when they were youngsters, they like to teach people, or they like to draw, for example, and so their calling is that they will be a teacher when they grow up. I know somebody who was a youngster, and well, they loved to draw. They loved to sketch anything that came into their sight. And so you say to yourself, well, the calling of this person is that he must be an artist, and so forth. And of course, one of the great tragedies of life is that sometimes people miss their calling. They miss their calling. Somebody who is very good at a certain thing, perhaps an athlete or something. I used to know somebody who was a great swimmer as a child, a very strong swimmer, a very fast swimmer. used to do almost record times. Everybody would say, oh, he's going to go on to be great, a great athlete, an Olympic swimmer perhaps. But then when he got older, well, he started to lose interest, started to get caught up in the things of the world, hanging out in the bad crowds, and he lost his calling. He never practiced anymore. He never trained anymore. And what a shame that was. He was set for wonderful, great things, but he completely lost his calling at the end because he wanted to do other things. Well, this is a terrible thing. Our calling in life. I'm sure many of you have thought about this. What is your calling in life? What is the purpose in life for you? Why are you here on this earth? Well, if I apply this in the way that the Apostle Peter presents it, well, he's almost saying that if you miss out on God, if you reject God, you turn away from God, a life lived without God is a life that has completely missed its calling. If you never turn to God, you have completely missed your calling. Because the calling of every single one of us, every member of the human race, the calling is to know God. That is the calling for every one of us. To know Him, to love Him, to draw near to Him. That is the calling for every one of us. It was the calling of the human race originally. That was the reason why Adam was created. He was created, why? Just for a laugh? Just because God had nothing else to do? No, he was created so that he would know God and walk with God and serve God and know the blessing of God. That was the reason behind his creation. That was the calling of his life. Adam, you have been created for this great calling, to know God, to serve him on this earth, in this life, to know him in that way. That was our great calling. Adam was the first human, the representative human, and so his calling was our calling. But of course, we all know what happened. Adam sinned against God. He took of the fruit of the forbidden tree in the Garden of Eden. He rebelled against God. He sinned against God. And he lost his calling. Instead of walking with God and being blessed with God throughout his whole life, never to end, well, then he took of the tree, he sinned, and his calling was lost. Then death entered into the world. Then his relationship with God was utterly broken. He was made with this great calling, but he wanted his own way. I want my own way. I'm not going to listen to God. I'm going to disobey. I'm going to take of the fruit, and nobody's going to stop me. And he missed out on his calling, the reason why he was made. It's lost. It's gone. And what a tragedy this is. What a tragedy for us to think upon. Well, it's true of Adam. And as I've already mentioned, it's true of almost every single one of us. Well, all of us, I should say, not almost. We are all born sinners. We are all born in rejection of God. We have this great calling when we hear the gospel. God is calling us to know him, to love him, to serve him. But well, we don't want that. We want to do our own thing. We want to go our own way. Oh, the world is calling me to something better. The world promises so much else. I'm going to take of that forbidden fruit. I'm going to go into the world. I'm going to forget all about God. All about what he has to offer, all about his blessings. I like my sin. We like our sin when we're unsaved. We like doing things that are not right. We like our bad habits. We like being selfish. And because we do all these things, well, then we miss the great calling of our lives. We are called to know God and to serve him, but because we are tempted by sin, we miss that great calling that God calls us to. Well, is that you? God is calling you even this morning, and if you've been to church many times before, he's called you so many times to your true calling, to know him. But you're rejecting it. You don't want to know your true calling. You want to do something else because of your sin, just like Adam. Well, I've known so many people who have rejected their calling, this call of God. What happens to people who do that, who go their own way? I know many people who come to quite a grand old age, to their old age, and well, they become bitter. When they look back on their lives, they think, what a waste. They become bitter, they are full of regrets, because they think to themselves, is this what life is? I've lived all my life, I've worked so hard, I've done this, this and this, only to get old, only to face death at the end of my life. Is that all that life is about? You live, you work hard, you grow old and then you die. Is that it? No, that's not it. But the fact is they missed their calling. They didn't want their real, true calling. They didn't want to know a life that was blessed. So they turned away from that, and so all they have now is just regret and bitterness at the end of their life. They know within themselves God was calling them, but they missed the calling. They rejected it out of hand. Well, I would hate for that to be the case of anyone in this place, to reject your calling that God calls you to, and then to be faced only with regret at the very end of your life. God calls you to a better life. God calls you to eternal life. Our lot should not have been, should never have been, we live and then we die. No, that was never God's creation or his design. His design was that we live forever with God. And this is what he is offering to us in the gospel. You come to Christ, you have that hope of eternal life. Not just you live and you die, but you live and you go to dwell forever with God. That's our true calling. And even in this life, even in this life, well, you speak to Christians who have lived Christian lives and they have no regrets. They have no bitterness, even though they've had hard lives. And some of them do have hard lives. They look back and they say, there's no regrets. The Lord led me. The Lord kept me. I know that I was doing what I ought to have been doing. That's what a Christian knows and believes. God can make the most out of your talents. Do you think that if you come to Christ, those of us who don't know Christ, all your talents will be lost? Oh no, it's quite the opposite. God will even add to your talents. God will give you talents that you didn't know you even had. I've known many people, they never had any experience of teaching, and yet they came to Christ, and God has transformed them, changed them, that they've become the best Sunday school teachers in the entire church. And it's very clear that they were made for that. They would have missed that calling entirely if they had never come to God. I know one person. Well, he was a graphic designer. That was his skill. But then he came to Christ, and one day he met a deaf person who came into the church. And he realized that he couldn't communicate to this deaf person, and so he made it his purpose, his calling, I'm going to learn to sign. I'm going to learn sign language, and now, well, perhaps he's one of the best signers I've ever seen, certainly. He signs on the TV for the BBC. That is now very clearly his calling. But if he had never come to God, he would never have known that. That whole part of his ability lost completely. So dear friends, when you come to God, God knows what you are capable of. He will use you in the best possible way. So this is our calling. And of course, eternal life at the very end of it. Are you going to miss out on that? You can't. You must claim it. Come to God and know him. Make your calling and your election sure. Well, I must move on to election. What does that mean? Well, there's very much that could be said about election, but let me put it to you very simply, because we have very little time remaining. Election. There is a great doctrine of election in the Bible. What does that mean? Well, the doctrine of election is that all those who are saved by God, all those who have been saved throughout the history of the world, those in the past, those in the present, those in the future, they have already been elected by God. They have already been chosen by God. When did God choose them? Before the world was even created. Before any of us were even born, God chose us to be his people. God knows all of those who will be in heaven already. They are all numbered, as it were. And God is waiting for that number to be fulfilled, and then the end will come. That's the doctrine of election. God's chosen people. Well, now, this always raises the question, how do I know that I am chosen by God? How do I know that I am one of God's elect? And the very simple answer I can give is this. You want to know that you're God's elect? You want to be sure that you're going to be in heaven? Well, this is how you can find out. You trust in Christ. That is the way that God presents to us. How can I be sure I'm one of God's chosen? You trust in Christ. You know that Christ is the Son of God, that he came down from heaven to earth to take upon himself human flesh. Why? To die for us. To die for our sins on Calvary. You trust that your sin was placed on the Lord Jesus Christ and he took the punishment for you. You trust in that with all your heart. He died for me so that I can be accepted by God, so that I can be forgiven of God. That's how you know you're chosen of God. That's how you know you're elect, because I trust in Christ. Because I choose God as my Savior. That's how I know I'm one of God's elect. That's how I know I'm one of God's chosen. It's very simple. We don't need to complicate it. And so I exhort you, as Peter exhorts you, as the Lord exhorts you this morning, make your calling and election sure. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will most certainly be one of God's elect. Make your calling and election sure. Well, as I draw to conclusion, I must focus on this last word, sure. Are you sure? Now, I've spoken about this many times before, but it is a very sad thing when you speak to people who claim to be Christian, who profess the Christian faith, and you say to them, are you sure that you will go to heaven? You say you're a Christian, are you sure that you will go to heaven? And they say, oh no, I'm not sure. No, I'm not sure. Because I haven't lived a very good life in the last week or in the last month or in the last year. So I'm not sure. And well, that's a very sad thing, because God calls us to be sure. And we are able to be sure. You know, the difference between the Christian faith and all the other religions, and I've examined, well, perhaps not all, but many of them, all the other religions, yes, they have good philosophies, good concepts, they have myths, they have a measure of morality, a measure of truth. But you know what's missing in almost all of these religions? There are no promises made. There's no promise that if you do this, you will most certainly have life forevermore. There are no promises. It's always, or you might have this, or you might turn into this, or you might be reincarnated as this. Well, nobody knows. The Christian faith is, if you trust in Christ, you shall be saved. The promises, the assurances. Try and look for promises in other religions. You won't find them. It's only the true and living God makes this promise. you trust in Christ, you will have everlasting life. Now, you don't need to turn to this, but perhaps one of the greatest Christian of all time was the Apostle Paul. And he, well, it's so very clear that he had that assurance, that certainty. I read from the end of Romans chapter 8. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul. For I am persuaded, I am certain, I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see how certain he is? How certain of his salvation? You won't find that in any other religion. And you can look forever. That promise of God, the assurance of God's people. If you're not sure that you are saved, well, may I suggest to you, the problem is with you. It's not with God. The problem is with you. Maybe you're not trusting in God as you ought to do. Maybe you don't really want to live a holy life. Maybe you don't want to let the world go. Oh, I still want the world. Yes, I come to church, but I still want the world. And so I'm not sure whether I'm really a true Christian, whether I'm really right with God. Oh, but he is calling the Apostle Peter, make it sure. Trust yourself wholly to God. Give yourself wholly to God. My prayer for everyone in this room is that you are sure of your salvation. I'm not going to spend my time or waste my time preaching to you if at the end of your life you're not going to be sure of your salvation. Think of yourself at the end of your life, lying on your deathbed perhaps. What a tragic thing it would be to think, oh, I'm not sure if when I die I will be with God. I know I went to church, but I'm not sure whether I will be with God. Oh, what a terrible thing. I want you to be sure. I want you to say yourself, I heard the word of God, and I trusted in Christ completely for salvation. I know that he died for my sin, and I gave up the world entirely, and I served him for all I'm worth in this world, in this life. I embraced my calling. Now, at the end of my life, I can be sure. That's my prayer for every single one of us. Not that you're unsure at the end of your life, but that you have made your calling and election sure. Give up everything else and be sure that you're a true born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the words of the Apostle Paul, Apostle Peter and Paul and myself. Make your calling and your election sure. Well, may that be a blessing to you. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our God, our gracious Heavenly Father, oh Lord, how we pray that each and every one of us will be sure at the end of our lives that we shall go to be with our God in everlasting love and peace. Oh Lord, may it not be that any one of us will hold on to this world, will be unsure at the end, full of fear and trembling. Oh Lord, we pray that thou wouldst bless even now and move in many hearts and save souls. Save them to the uttermost that they may have assurance of salvation and of heaven. We ask it all in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.